Today, here in the Daf Yomi is Gemara Yevamos Daf Pei Beis. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas Leon Frank Aryeh Mordechai Ben Avram, whose yahrzeit is today, also received a notice. Also, we're learning Le'ili Nishmas Charlotte Hoffman, whose yahrzeit was a week ago. All the Nishmas we learned for should have an Aliyah from our learning. Okay, we're already a couple of lines down on Pei Beis Amud Aleph. I'm going to pick up with the words Ulurei Shlokish. Seven lines down from the top, just to remind ourselves. Yesterday we brought down a brisa, which had, the first part of the brisa said, if you have a piece of chatos meat that was tameh, that got mixed up with other chatos pieces of meat that were tahorim, so then in that situation, we are going to allow it to be batel if there is a 100 to 1 against it, a 100 ratio against that one piece, so it's 100 to 1, a 101 altogether, so then it's batel. Because in that situation, none of the pieces will be able to be eaten, because we have to be concerned about the one tummy piece. But according to the opinion of Reish Lakish, in that situation, we said you are allowed to go and eat it because the situation was that the meat was nimuach, it was dissolved, and therefore it no longer was considered kosher. Because otherwise, Reish Lakish would say, no matter what, kosher da'ak limanos, as long as it's sometimes held to be kosher, it is going to be considered kosher under all circumstances, even if that particular case, it wasn't sold by a specific minion or a specific weight. As opposed to the second part of the brisa, we said that Reish Lakish held that when you had a piece of tahor chatos that got mixed up with pieces of tahor chulin meat, in that situation, you weren't allowed to go and say that it's batel. In that situation, you had to sell it all to a kohen and let the kohen eat all of it. Now, the Gemara asks the question, again, we pick up seven lines at the top, Pei Beis Amud Aleph, L'Reish Lakish, Maishna Reish, Maishna Steifa. If you're dealing both of them with dissolved meat, so it's not Choshev, why then in the Reisha do we say, yes, it's Ola, it is Batel, and in the Seifa we say it's not Ola, it's not Batel. So we give several answers. Omer Rishisha Brei D'Ravidi, Rishisha Brei D'Ravidi says, Reisha B'tumas Mashkin D'Rabbanon, and Seifa D'Raisa. The difference is the Reisha, the first case, was dealing with the piece of meat was, in fact, only tome on a derabbanon level. If it come into contact with mashkin, which were a rishon, have the ability mi derabbanon to be metame as a keli, whereas normally a rishon cannot be mekale metame odom v'kelim. But the rabbis made a special gezerah in regards to mashkin because there are certain mashkin that do have the status of being an avatuma from a zov or a mitzora. So therefore, they made a derabbanon gezerah that all mashkin are treated like a rishon, but have the ability to be metame a keli. So the keli that had this meat was only tame midrabbanan. And therefore, in that situation, even though we would normally make a gzeira and say that you wouldn't be allowed to be batel because sometimes it's a kol shadar kalimanos, so even though in this situation it's not something that would be a davar chasher because the meat was dissolved, so the rabbis in that situation did not make a gzeira over here when you're dealing with a din derabbanan. But in the seifa, when we're dealing with a single piece of chatos meat that was tar, and this mixes with chulin meat, here there is an issa daraisa for a zor to eat this. As Rashi points out in Dira Masel v'Seifa, kodshim for a zor, lezor, issa daraisa hu. Umi de daraisa min bimino lahaitana sfir le de lo batil. Vafilu she'en darki limonos. And in this situation, we go according to the opinion that says min bimino, even when it's not darko limonos because it's dissolved, nevertheless, it's going to be an issa daraisa. And therefore, that's why there's a difference between Reish Lakish saying in the Reisha, it's permissible to be batel, and the Sefer it's not. Mark continues and says, so then, Avol Tumas Sheretz Mai, if the Reisha had been talking about a case of Tumas Sheretz, what would be the Halacha? Lo Sala. It would also, because it was an Issa Deraisa, not be able to be nullified. So the Gemara asks, Adetani Sefer, Avol Chaticha Shulchatos, Tahoros Yinesarva, Bemeya Chaticha Shulchulin, Tahoros Lo Sala. Instead of giving us the case of the Sefer, where it's not Sala, because we're talking about a single Chaticha of Chatas, this Tahora mixing with 100 Chatichos of Chulin that are Tahoros, we gave that as the example where it's not Tala. Instead, you could have given him Niflo Guliste Bidida. Instead of giving us a whole new scenario, you could have said, it depends in the Reisha whether it's the Reisha or the Rabbanan. You could have said, Ramedvar Mamurim Bitumas Mashkin. The Reisha, where we said it is Tala, you are able to be Batel it, because we're only dealing with the Tumah de Rabbanan. As opposed to Avol Tumah Sheretz, Tumah Daraisa Lo. So why did you have to go give us a second scenario where you had Tahor Chatos meat mixing with Chulin meat? You could have just said, we're dealing with Tomei Chatos on a Darabana level, mixing with other Chatos meats that's Tahora, versus tamei chatos meat on daraisa level, mixing with other chatos meat that's tahora, and said that's the contrast. So it's better to do it niflo gulisne bididah rather than give us a new case. So Mar gives the same teres he gave yesterday. Tahora b'tahoros odiflei. He wanted to give us a bigger chiddush over here by saying that even that you're dealing with tahor chatos meat that gets mixed up with chulin meat that's tahora. Nevertheless, we go and treat this as not being able to be batel. So it's a bigger chiddush to tell me tahora b'tahora is also not batel than telling me that tmeya chatos meat is not batel in tahora chatos meat. Okay, that's teretz number one. Teretz number two, Rabba Amar Reisha Isulav. Sefer Issachar Reis. Oh, the difference between the two, why is Reish Lakish allowing the Reisha to be Tala and the Sefer not to be Tala, is because of a different level of Issa Daraisa. The Reish is talking about an Issa Daraisa that's only a Lav, and the Sefer is talking about an Issa Daraisa where the Lav is a Kares Lav. What's the example of Issa Lav? So Rashi brings that in Dira Masal Issa Lav, Tumas Boser Kachim Liochlo Belav. If a person is eating Tomei meat, so that's only a lav. You're not allowed to do this. Abasa shayiga b'chol tome, so that's a lav. As opposed to the seifa, Rashi gives us an example that a tome person might be eating this, and a tome person who eats, as a tome person who eats kachim the datar, that's an isser of kares. So Rabba says there's a difference between whether it's an isser that's only, quote, a lav, versus an isser that's an isser of kares. But the more questions, it says, well, Rabba himself, who the Amar, he's the one that said that once you have a din daraisa, kobe daraisa, loshna isa lav, loshna isa kares. We don't make any distinction between just a quote lav and an isa that's kares in terms of us saying a gzerud midrabanan would be applicable only to the one that's a kares as opposed to one that's just a lav. So Rabba himself said this. So therefore, that seems to go against his teretz over here. The one says kasha, you're right, that indeed is a kasha. Now we have another way to explain it, Rav Ashi Amar, the reason why there's a difference between the first case in the Brisa and the second case in the Brisa. Rav Ashi tells us, Sefer, Mishum Dahavin Leidov Sheish L'Matirim. The Sefer, we are dealing with the Chatos meat getting mixed up with Tahora Chulin meat, is because it's a Dover Sheish L'Matirim. Dover Sheish L'Matirim is something that can be mutter after some period of time. And therefore, why eat it with a heter, so to say, of whatever the heter is, wait till the heter is no longer necessary when you're allowed to eat it totally beheter. That's called the Dovashi Yishlo Matirim. Right now, it's no good. Something, let's say, for example, that you're not allowed to eat on Shabbos, so wait till after Shabbos, and then you'd be allowed to go and eat it. So why eat it by Shabbos using some sort of a heter? So Rav Ashi says, this is a case of a chol Dovashi Yishlo Matirim. And that is Afilu Be'elef Lo Batil. That's why the Seifa is talking about a Dovashi Yishlo Matirim. So therefore, that's why the rabbis didn't allow it to be Ola in that situation. Now, the Gemara says that's wrong. For the Rav Ashi, Bedusi, that's a mistake. Bedusi means a mistake. Rav Ashi is, in fact, incorrect. Why? Leman, who are we saying it's a Dovah Sheyesh L'Matirim for? When you have the piece of Chatos that's Torah mixing up with lots of pieces of Chulin, 100 pieces of Chulin. So, who cannot eat it now, but will be able to eat it later on, that it's a Dovah Sheyesh L'Matirim? Leman, Ela Kohen for the Kohen. The Kohen can eat it all right now. The Kohen's allowed to eat the Chatos meat. He's allowed to eat the Chulin meat. So, it's not a Dovah Sheyesh L'Matirim for the Kohen. Mishra Shari, perfectly permissible to eat it. I for the Yisrael, Ili Yisrael, if you say that this is also Liolam also, it doesn't become permissible after a certain period of time, and therefore it's not a Dovah Sheyesh L'Matirim. So the Gemara says, Elohod the Rav Ashi Bedusi. That's why we said the Rav Ashi was incorrect. He made a mistake, and it's not a Dovah Sheyesh L'Matirim. So we only have the two Terutzim that we mentioned. Now the Gemara says, everything from yesterday's share, we said that Rav Yochanan holds that Truma Bizman Hazeh is a Din D'Araisa. So the Gemara now questions that. Does he really hold that? But some of Yochanan, Truma Bizman Hazeh D'Araisa, because he had said that just like you're allowed the androgynous Kohen, his machel, his wife, in Truma, so he is also able to give a Chaziv Vishok. So we said that that's a Din D'Araisa. So Rav Yochanan holds that it is a Din D'Araisa of Truma nowadays. Where it says that's not true. Well, Tanya, we have a famous Brisa. The Brisa tells us, Shtei kupos, achas shel chul ve'achas shel truma. Person has two baskets, and one of them has an item that's chulin in it, and the other one has an item that's truma in it. And lifneim shtei soin. And you have two smaller containers, each holding a saw, one achas shel chul ve'achas shel truma, and the other one has truma. So you have two containers that are smaller that are going to be falling into two containers that are larger. And we'll have A and B, the smaller containers, and A and B, the larger containers. So A is Truma in both situations, and B is not Truma, it's Chulin. So did A, in the small A, fall into the larger A, or did it fall into B? And similarly, did the B, the smaller container, fall into the A container or into the B container? Each of them fell into one. We don't know which one fell into which. The naflu el b'soch elu. They each fell into one of the other containers. The smaller containers containing Esav fell into the larger containers. Now, what happened? If the chulin fell into the chulin, the truma fell into the truma, then there's no problem. The one that was truma was still truma. The one that's chulin is still chulin. Are we allowed to assume that or not? So hare elu mutarim. The Brisa says, yes, you can assume that. Because of the famous sha'ani omer, because we have the halachic right to say, truma l'soch truma nafla, the chulin b'soch chulin nafla. We have the halachic right to say that the truma container fell into the larger truma container, and the chulin container fell into the larger chulin container. Why do you have the right to say this? Because it's all dealing with the din d'rabbanan. This is only true if in the larger container there was more than in the smaller container. In other words, even Reish Lakish is saying, should it not be that the chulin fell into the chulin and the truma fell into the truma, even if the truma actually fell into the chulin, and it's not 100 against it, so it wouldn't be batel mi d'rabbanan, but on a deraisa level, it would be batel. Chabitrei batel on a deraisa level. So Reish Lakish is saying, since we're only dealing over here with truma that is mi d'rabbanan, so we have the halachic right to say that we assume that the truma fell into the truma, because worse comes to worse, even if the truma fell into the chulin, so then it would still be batel. So on a deraisa level, there's no shaila. It's only on a derabbanan level. But that's assuming, according to Reish Lakish, v'sherabu chulin ala truma, that you have more chulin than you have truma. In other words, the larger containers have at least a little bit more than in the smaller containers. You have a lot more for sure, but at least a little bit more. That's the opinion of Reish Lakish. There's no problem with Reish Lakish. But Rav Yochanan, who says that this is an issa deraisa of truma zman hazeh, he says, afa pishalo rabu chulin ala truma, even if it's 50-50, it still would be batel. Now here the question is why? If you're dealing with the din daraisa, the rule of thumb is suffik daraisa lechumra. So then why does Rav Yochanan say, if he holds it, the truma, Bismana says daraisa, why does he allow it to be? If it's 50-50, then it's also batel. Let's understand the question better. The Gemara explains it. Bishlam l'Reish Lakish. According to Reish Lakish, everything is fine because kosavar b'drabbanan nami ribu Yehudu ba'ina. Because even b'drabbanan, Reish Lakish says that you have to have the majority. That's why this works. Because even b'drabbanan, you'd be okay if the truma fell into the chulin, because it would be technically batel betray, chad batel betray. So therefore, as long as you have a little bit more of the chulin than the truma, so worse comes worse, if the truma really fell into the chulin, it's only a question of the Rabbanan, and therefore the rabbis would not gozer in this situation, because you also have Shani Yomer, that there's an excellent chance that the truma fell into the truma, and the chulin fell into the chulin. So Reish Lakish has no problem, because it's all Midir Rabbanan. El Rav Yochanan, who says it's Daraisa, Kasha, how can it be that it's batel on a Daraisa level, if it falls 50-50? That can't be. So that's the Kasha of Rav Yochanan. So Shmuel says, no. Hamani, Rav Yochanan says, who's the author of this Braisa? This Braisa, which says that 50-50 is fine, goes according to the opinion that it's din truma today is midir Rabbanan. This is Rabbanan he. This is the opinion of the Rabbanan, who in fact do say that nowadays truma is midir Rabbanan. There is no truma daraisa nowadays, and therefore that's why it's not a problem. Just like for Rav Shlakish, it's not a problem. For Rav Yochanan, it's not a problem either. The pay base on the base. However, now, the Girsa that we have in the Gemara is Vanad the Amri Rav Yossi, that Rav Yochanan holds like Rav Yossi, but that's actually not correct. And Rashi's Girsa is Vano Amino Le Rabbi Yossi. Our Mishnah, which is what I was referring to when I said that Truma Bismana says Daraisa, is going according to Rav Yossi in the Mishnah, who said that an androgynous Kohen is not only Machila Ishto B'Truma, but also is Machila B'Chaze V'Shok. And that's because Chaz V'Shok is Daraisa, and he's talking about Truma Daraisa as well. So Rav Yossi is the one that said that the Mishnah is dealing with Truma Daraisa, but not me. Rav Yochanan himself says, I hold that Truma Bismanazeh is really the Rabbanon. Now where did we see that Rav Yossi is holding that Truma Bismanazeh is Daraisa? Because the Tani B'Seder Olam, because this is in Seder Olam. Seder Olam is a bunch of Braises that discuss various things since the beginning of the world. And it says in Seder Olam, in this Brais, it says, Asher Yarshu Avosecha V'Rishta. We darshim the Pasuk that says, you will inherit the land, and then it says, V'Rishta, and you will inherit it. So it says it twice. So this is the two Yerushas that Chal Yisrael had in Eretz Yisrael. Yerusha Rishona Ushniya. Rashi explains Yerusha Rishona was during the days of Yeshua. We conquered that land, the Zion Kibush, the Zion Chiluk. So that's the first Yerusha we had of Eretz Yisrael. And the second one was Nebuch, after Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash, so there were 70 years in Babel, then Ezra brought us back, so that was the second Yerusha, V'chein Shniyah, Dinei Ezra. Now, Kishagolu, Golos Rishona, bought Lo Kedushas Oretz. Rashi says that the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, that it was ours, was bought when Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Then it was reinstituted when Ezra came back in, the Kedusha of the land, and as this Bryson, Seder Olam, tells us, Ushlishis Einlehen, the Golus of Titus, when Titus, as Rashi said, kicked us out with the second Beis HaMikdash, so Lo Bot Lo Kedushas Aretz Begolus Titus. There is no mention of a third Yerusha, so the second Yerusha was forever. Therefore, when Ezra came back and sanctified the land for Klal Yisrael, that's a Kedusha that remains. When Mashiach comes, it won't have to be re-Mikudash again. It will already have the Kedusha from Ezra. And this is what the Bryce in Seder Olam says, and Amar Yochanan, Mantana Seder Olam, Rabbi Yossi. And who's the author of this Bryce in Seder Olam? That's Rabbi Yossi. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that Truman Zman says, Daraisa, since from the time of Ezra, it never lost the Kedusha. And therefore, that's why Rabbi Yossi holds it's Daraisa. There are those that disagree with this Bryce, and they say, no, Nebuch, when Titus was Gola us into Golus, the Golus that we still, the long, hard Golus that we're still in today. So Eretz Yisrael lost its Kedusha, and Behari Yemenu, when Mashiach comes, he'll re-Makadesh the land, and that will be the way that the Kedusha of the land is returned. Okay, bottom line is, B'savar Rav Yochanan midrabbanan lo boyin rivuya. We just learned in the Braisa that Rav Yochanan now holds that it is midrabbanan, and he holds that you don't need to have the majority. Reish Lakish said, the only reason why we can assume that the Truma fell into the Truma, and the Chulin fell into the Chulin, because even if the Truma fell into the Chulin, it's batal with a majority against it. But Rav Yochanan said, no, even if it falls in 50-50, it's still batal as well. So that implies, the Savar Yochanan, be the Rabbanan, lo boyin rivuya, that you don't need a rove to be mevatel on the Rabbanan level. But that's not true. We learned in the following Mishnah, this is a Mishnah, Mikvos, which tells us, Mikvah sheyesh bo arba'im sa'ah, michuvanos. If you have a mikvah that has exactly bidiyok 40 saw, which is a minimal size for a mikvah to be, doesn't have more than 40 saw. So if you were to go nasan saw, you add another saw. Rashi explains you're adding something that's not normally kosher for a mikvah, such as certain types of mashkin ume peros, the temed, that would not be kosher to go and put them into a mikvah. So this would normally ruin a mikvah if the mikvah wasn't a kosher mikvah. But here you have a kosher mikvah, so adding these waters doesn't ruin it from being a kosher mikvah. So you put in one saw worth of mei peros, which would normally ruin a mikvah, but here you have a kosher mikvah. That's nosan saw. And then v'natal saw, but then you took out a saw. Now the water mixes almost instantly. Right, brownie in motion, the water is going to mix, and that saw that you put in is not going to be the same saw that you took out. So one could argue that now you no longer have a kosher of 40 saw in the mikvah. You took out some of the previously kosher water, and you've replaced it with the mei peros. It's no good. Nevertheless, the Mishnah tells us kosher. The mikvah is still a good mikvah, because as Rashi says, the mikvah yavu legabei batale, because when you put in that one saw of mei peros into the kosher of 40 saw mikvah, it becomes batal to it. Vavulu arboim v'chad kulan ruuyin, because we now view it as 41 saw that are all perfectly kosher. And now as Rashi continues, v'chishokal chad saw, and when you take out one saw, pashu arboim, you're left with 40 saw, and those are all kosher of 40 saw. Rashi does point out, avul ivcha, if you first took out the one saw and then added the mei peros, that would be no good. Lo dochi, in that situation, Natal saw Beresha Chaserle, then it would be considered Chaser. The Chiyadu Maliale, and when you filled it up, then having Mikvah Chaser, the Mashkin Alolu a Mashlimenis a Mikvah. So these May Peros can't fill the 40 saw. But if you had 40 saw, they don't ruin it. When you now add a saw and then you remove a saw, we don't say that it's ruined. And that's the basic din in this mission. Mikvahs. The Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shila, Amar Vasi, Amar Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan ultimately said on this Mishnah, ad rubo, that's only if you only take out 19 saw. But if you were to take out 20 saw, which would be 50-50, then it's no good. So only ad rubo, you can take out 19 saw. You can do this, nosan saw, notal saw, 19 times. Ad rubo, but you can't do it 20 times. My lab, dinishtaya rubo, does this mean that he holds that you also have to have at least 21 against 19, you can't have 20-20, that would be no good. So this is a kasha. How can Rabbi Yochanan over here say that if it's 50-50, it's no good? Previously, he said 50-50 is good. So the Gemara says, no, that's not what Rav Yochanan said, lo. When he said that you shouldn't take out the rove, he said, ad rubo, that meant the lo nishkal rubo, you shouldn't take out more than 20. But as long as you took out only 20, it would be 50-50, that would still be good. Teretz number one. Teretz number two, vibayi seymo, shani hocha. Here again, it's different because the Igla Meimar, shani omer. Because here we have the halachic right to say that one of the boxes of chulin fell into the box of chulin. As opposed to here by the water, by the mikvah, you can't say that because it mixes instantly. But by the truma falling into truma, and the chulin falling into chulin, you have the right to say, shani omer, that that's what happened. And that's why even if it's 50-50, he allows it. Here with the water, you can't say that because the water mixes instantly. You can't say that which you put in is also that which you took out. Now we go back and we discuss further what the Mishnah had said. Rav Yossi and Rav Shimon said that the androgynous is definitely considered a man. That was Rav Yochanan's understanding, and that's why he's machil l'ishto l'chaze in the shok. And Rav Shimon had said, no, it's only if it's in the Zman Hazeh, when you're dealing with Truma Durabanan, that the man is machil l'ishto, but he's never machil l'ishto in the days of the chaze in the shok, because that's a din d'araisa. Now, Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, also, it said androgynous no say. That implies that an androgynous who both has simone zachrus and simone nakvus, so the male part of him makes him into a man, vadai, and he's allowed to marry. It says no say can go and marry a woman. So that seems to imply lichatchila. Now that's a kasha on Reish Lakish, because Rav Yochanan says that in our Mishnah, you're allowed to go be machila, even the chazeh and the shok, which is a din d'oraisa. You'd only be allowed to do that if it was definitely considered a male. So our Mishnah seems to go like Rav Yochanan as a kasha and Reish Lakish, who says that you can only have the rabbanan machila l'ishto, and not chazeh v'shok, not d'oraisa. So Gemara says, no, change around the gear. So t'ni im nosa. If this androgynous married a woman, he's machila l'ishto. Gemara says, that's not what the language said. It said, v'hat no se ketani. It said, L'chatchila, he seems to be allowed to marry her, which goes like Rav Yochanan, the Kasha Reish Lakish. So Reish Lakish answers, no. Ultaimech, what's the next part? It says, Avol lo nisa, right? According to you, my, what does it mean when it says, Avol lo nisa? That he, as the androgynous, is not allowed to be taken by a man in marriage. This androgynous can't be the wife in this situation. So that's lo nisa. What does that mean? That means even b'di'evet. Elamai Nisa. What does it mean when it says Lo Nisa? It means even Bidiyevet, Diavad. It's no good, even Bidiyevet. So therefore, just like that means Bidiyevet, so to Reish Lakish says, the ratio, it says No Say, Nami means Diavad. So therefore, there's no Kasha Reish Lakish. Gemara says, no, that's not correct. Amri Lo. Gemara says, no. No Say implies L'chatchila Mashma, that you're allowed to go get married. The androgynous is considered a male, a Vade male, that's allowed L'chatchila to go marry a woman. And when it says Avol Nisa, that means even b'di'evet, d'i'evet, nami lo. So therefore, Rav Yochanan is right, and it's still a kasha Reish Lakish. But the Gemara says it's not so simple. There's a problem even with Rav Yochanan. If you keep on reading, it says Rabbi Eliezer Omer, androgynous chayav lo skila b'kizachar, that Rabbi Eliezer is the one that says that the androgynous, if he has relations with a man, so then he's chayav skila. So that implies that only Rabbi Eliezer holds that it's vadei a man, that you'd give him skila. Implication being that the Tanakama, Michlal the Tanakama, safuki misafkule, that it's only a suffix to the Tanakama, and if it's a suffix to the Tanakama, then he's not a vadei androgynous. So that's a kasha Rav Yochanan. So it's not only a problem with Reish Lakish, it's a kasha Rav Yochanan as well. So where he says no. In fact, it's not a kasha Rav Yochanan. In fact, Bein Lemar, Mifsha Pshitale. Both the Tanakama holds that he's Vadai a Zohar. And Rabbi Eliezer holds he's Vadai a Zohar. So then what's the difference between them? Then what is Rabbi Eliezer coming to teach us? Ika Benayu, the difference between them is Skilo Mishne Mekomos. The androgynous has both male genitalia, female genitalia. Now, his female genitalia, you might have thought in that situation that if you have a male having relations with him through his female genitalia as opposed to through the rectum, so then that would be considered normal relations. It wouldn't be chayav skila as having a homosexual relationship. And that's the difference between the Tanakama and Rabbi Eliezer. The Marasov of the Tanakama holds chayav imalav skila mishnei makomos. The Tanakama holds that he's vade and androgynous is a male, and therefore, if he has relations with another man, whether it's rectal intercourse, or whether it's even though it's intercourse through his female characteristics, through his osam okum that's female. So even though it's a normal, quote, male-female physical relationship, but he's considered a female. So whether it's rectal intercourse or whether it's vaginal intercourse through this person's osam okum, it's considered an issa d'oraisa of homosexuality. That is the opinion of the Tanna Kamma. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer holds, umar sovar kizochar, it's only if he has a rectal relationship with this other man. That is nebuch, a issa skila, that's a issa d'oraisa. But if this androgynous used his female orifice in the body to have relations with a man, so that would not be an issa d'oraisa of homosexual relationship. It's not permitted, but that's not a relationship that would be an issa skila, an issa d'oraisa. The word continues, and Omar Rav, Rav says, and we turn to Pei Gimel Amud Aleph, Leisa Lemasnisim Mikame Beraisa. The Rav Yossi, who said in our Mishnah that the din of Truma Bismanazeh is Daraisa, and therefore Machila Leishto, both Truma as well as Chazei Besok, Leisa Lemasnisim. Rav says that that's incorrect, because we have a Braisa that says otherwise. Mikame Braisa. The Mishnah is considered inconsequential, incorrect, of no value, Mikame Braisa, in front of the following Braisa. What's this Braisa? The Tanya, the Braisa says, Rav Yossi Omer, androgynous birya b'fnei atzmahu, that an androgynous is a third gender. It's a separate entity. It's not male, it's not female, it's a third separate gender entity that has both simone nakvus and zachrus. The rabbis never made a decision definitively whether it's male or female. So therefore, there's no way the androgynous kohen could go and feed his wife a din d'oraisa chazei v'shok. So the word says, what? Adarabba, you're getting rid of a mishnah because of a braisa? The mishnahs are more authoritative. Leisa l'braisa, the braisa is wrong, mikami masnisim, instead of the mishnah. And you should leave the mishnah as is. So the word says, no. Midishavke Rav Yossi lebar zuge. Rashi has the girsa. Midishavke Rav Yossi l'Rabbi Shimon ben zuge. Since in this braisa it doesn't mention Rav Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, it just mentions Rav Yossi. So it means he's leaving the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, and therefore the braisa is more authoritative. Shma mino hoder bei. And that's why we listen to the braisa, because the braisa doesn't mention that both Rav Yossi and Rav Shimon said this. It only mentions Rav Yossi Omer. So it's Rav Yossi who's retracting his original opinion that was brought down in the Mishnah that the androgynous is a vadei male. And Rav Yossi changed that and says, no, he's a birya b'fnei atzmo, and lo echriu chachamim im zochar im nekeva. That's the opinion of Rav. Ushmul disagrees. Ushmul amar, lesel a braisa mikami masnisin. No, we follow the normal ruling that when you have a Mishnah and a braisa, the Mishnah is authoritative and you ignore the braisa. So Ushmul says ignore the braisa, where he says, lo echriu chachamim im zochar nekeva, and leave the Mishnah, where Rav Yossi clearly holds that he's machila le Ishto, not only Truma, but even Chazei Vishok, even on the Raisa level. Everyone says, no, Adarabba, let's just say what we just said, that the Mishnah is not existent, Leisel Masnisa, Mikami Braisa, because the Braisa is more authoritative, because the Oshamin and Leil Shmuel, the Chayish Lechida. For another reason, because Shmuel, and Rashi brings down from the Gemara in Megillah, that they point out that on our Daf Mem Aleph in our Gemara, that the halacha is like Rav Yehuda, Bishomeres Yavam Shekides Ochiv Esachosa. Here we have the case where Reuven dies. Reuven is the brother that dies, and he has a wife, Rachel, and Rachel has a sister, Leah. Now Shimon went and married the sister, Leah, after Reuven died. Now if there's another brother, Levi, let Levi do the Yibam on Rachel, and then after Levi does either Chalitza or Yibam on Rachel, so then Shimon can go and finish off his marriage. He only was Makadishari. He only had the first stage of marriage, Kiddushin or Erisin. He didn't do the Nisuin. So wait till Levi does a Maisa and then go and marry her. If, however, Levi dies, so then he's stuck. Poor Shimon, he has to divorce his wife who he had only the first stage of marriage and he can't marry Rachel. He has to give her Chalitza because it's Achos Ishto. So either way, he has a problem. So that was a Das Yachid of Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim didn't hold like that. And we saw that Shmuel was concerned about that opinion. So therefore, why don't we say over here the Shmuel is choshish and it's braisa for the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, and forget the Mishnah where he said that it's a vade androgynous, is a vade male. So where it says, no, Hanimili, when did Shmuel say that we follow the Das Yochid, the Chayish L'chida? Hanimili, kilomis akwim es nisir. That's only if it doesn't uproot a accepted Mishnah. However, Avol ki misakwa masnisin, in our situation, it would totally change around the understanding of the Mishnah. So then, lo chayish. Then we don't say we worry about this das yochid and the brisa, but we leave it, the Mishnah, the way it was. So therefore, this is how Rabbi Shmuel had the machlokas in understanding whether the brisa is more authoritative or whether the Mishnah is more authoritative. We'll continue on this discussion a little bit more tomorrow, but this is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's share.